Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Friday, April 19th. Coming up today, we've got a story about a Kent landlord who's banned vaping at his pub and some inspirational stories of people ready to take on this weekend's London Marathon. But first, taking a look at our top story, and there are tributes today for a Medway man who died just hours after a severe asthma attack. 37-year-old Luke Foster is being remembered as a genuine and caring man. Let's talk to Lauren. She's got the details about his death for the Kent Online podcast. Lauren, what do we know about Luke's passing?
Well, Luke was found unresponsive by his partner, Ellie Tribe, on the 11th of March. She phoned paramedics, who put him on a nebulizer to stabilize his breathing, but sadly, he passed away the next day. He was an asthma sufferer and also had severe hay fever. It's thought he may have been battling a chest infection in the days leading up to his death, although the coroner is still investigating the exact circumstances.
And Luke has also been diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and attention deficit disorder in his 20s. Is that right?
Yes, Luke's sister, Lisa Forbes, said in recent years, Luke was in a much better place and enjoying holidays and his life with Ellie, but he struggled with his focus and mental health growing up. So to honour his memory, the family have set up a fundraiser to collect donations towards the Sittingbourne-based Men Talk Health charity. Luke's mum, Tina, says hopefully with awareness of this charity, more men will seek and find the help to talk they desperately need, and that it will be some comfort to the family to know that his legacy could potentially help change lots of lives for the better.
Thanks, Lauren. Luke's being remembered as a gym lover who had a great sense of humour and someone who was incredibly intelligent.
Kent Online News.
A man who assaulted medical staff and threw hot coffee in a police officer's face in Maidstone has been jailed. 55-year-old Darren Turpin, who has no fixed address, injured an employee at Brewer Street Doctor's Surgery on the 8th of April and then threw food and drinks while in police custody. He pleaded guilty to assault and criminal damage. He's been jailed for 42 weeks. Two men who tried to smuggle asylum seekers from Kent into France in the back of a lorry have been jailed. National Crime Agency officers watched the pair as they transferred the group from a hire van into the trailer last August before searching the vehicle at a services near Maidstone. The 47 and 54-year-olds from London and Italy were sentenced to 22 and 32 months. A Whitstable woman who launched a knife attack on her former partner has been sent to prison for more than 2 years. Kelly Duncan and three men carried out the assault in March 2021, which also saw the victim hit with a metal pole. The 55-year-old from Olympia Way has been locked up for 25 months. Armed police have been seen in Folkestone as part of a drugs operation. Officers were in Cambridge Gardens yesterday afternoon to arrest suspected drug dealers. There were also concerns one of them had a weapon. Two men and a woman remain in custody while inquiries continue. Head to Kent Online to see pictures of four men police are hunting after a robbery at a Currys in Aylesford. They're believed to have entered the store at the South Aylesford Retail Park on April 10th, threatening an employee and stealing laptops worth £30,000. Anyone in the area at the time is being urged to check dash cam footage. A suspect's been charged after two homes were broken into in Dartford. Electrical items were stolen from a property on Hall Road shortly after a building on Joyce Green Lane was also targeted. A 37-year-old man from Erith has appeared in court. A Tunbridge Wells man who reportedly found a bag full of passports, iPads and a watch and car keys has been charged with theft. It fell from a moving vehicle on London Road in the town back in February, but when the owner went to retrieve it, the bag had gone. A 35-year-old is due before magistrates in Sevenoaks next month.
Kent Online News.
A Deal woman has been telling the Kent Online podcast about the moment she says she was almost killed in a hit and run.
I was sitting in my car and I'd put my seatbelt on. I mean, I put my bag over to one side. My phone was in my bag, so I didn't have it at hand. I put my seatbelt on and put my car in the ignition. And then I leant my arm over to pull my car door in. And just as I was doing this, this car flew down the road super fast and weaving, and it almost like felt like it was deliberately targeted my door. I was so shocked. It took me a while just to get my seatbelt off so I could jump out the car. I thought they would stop. I didn't think for one second that they would drive off. I mean, they were driving off weaving, almost hit a few cars further up down Kingsdown Road. And I was really shocked. I am annoyed. Like, I'm more than annoyed. I'm really, really, really upset about it, in the sense that, you know, there's no third party, so that hikes up my insurance. I have to pay the excess, you know. It's like, how am I supposed, and I can't, and my car is waiting for parts to be fixed. So I don't have a courtesy car because I don't have the other person's details. I mean, obviously I've got friends that can help me get from A to B, but who wants to just rely on people to do that? You want your freedom. I just think it's really horrible that somebody can actually cause harm to somebody like that. I mean, the door, I have my hand on the door when he hit the door and he didn't stop. I say he, it could have been a she. I didn't know what the driver looked like. It was a dark blue or black estate car. It drove off super fast, headed towards Deal. I was headed, I mean, I was faced in this direction, obviously, as Deal, of Deal, because my, that's how I hit my car door on my driver's side. And just really disappointed that somebody could do something like that, really.
That's Zsa Zsa Daniel. She's undergoing chemotherapy and was on her way to hospital for a scan when the crash happened in Kingsdown Road earlier this month. Kent Police say they are investigating. They're looking for witnesses or anyone with dashcam footage. The O2 Academy in Brixton is set to reopen for the first time since a security guard from Gravesend was killed in a crush. 23-year-old Gabby Hutchinson was one of two people killed when fans without tickets tried to force their way into a show. The venues had to meet more than 70 conditions. It'll host a gig tonight featuring a number of top tribute acts. Dozens of senior staff at Kent County Council are earning more than £100,000 a year, and that's according to new research. The Town Hall Rich List has been compiled by the Taxpayers Alliance. It shows the former chief exec of the authority was paid almost £220,000 over the 2022-23 financial year. A Kent landlord has banned vaping in his pub because he doesn't want customers to be put off their Sunday lunches. Signs have been put up at the Three Horseshoes in Herne Hill between Faversham and Canterbury, warning people that using the devices indoors is no longer permitted. According to the owner, Maurice O'Flynn, punters are happy with the move. He's told the Kent Online podcast he'd become sick of the smell and couldn't see why only cigarette smokers should be forced outside. A smoking ban in pubs, clubs, restaurants and other venues came into effect on July 1st, 2007. But despite the recent emergence of vapes as a substitute for cigarettes, legislation is yet to be drafted which would see it treated in the same way, so it's up to landlords to decide whether they ban it or not.
Kent Online News.
The family of an elderly man from Swanley are calling for a parking fine to be overturned after he forgot to display his blue badge. Michael Bibby was given a ticket after leaving his vehicle in a disabled bay at Bluewater during a visit with his daughter. The pair admitted not showing the badge but have appealed the fine. Charlotte Tiller has been telling the podcast what happened.
So we parked in a disabled bay and unfortunately we did forget to put the blue badge out. My dad had got the badge out but he accidentally put it into the glove compartment, and then when we come back to the car there was a parking ticket on there for £95, but we could have parked anywhere because there was loads of spaces available. Obviously we parked in the disabled bay because my dad requires a wheelchair to get into the centre, so we chose to park there. And I just feel it's unfair that people can park in Bluewater for free, but if you're a disabled or a blue badge user, you have to prove that you're allowed to park in the bay that you're provided. So you don't have to prove anything to park in a parent and child space, but if you're disabled, you have to prove that you've got a right to park there, and no one else does, which I just think is really unfair. I think that there should be an allowance so that if you can prove retrospectively that you have got a blue badge and you're not a repeat offender and it was a first time offence, and you should be allowed to appeal it and actually have the fine quashed, because I just think £95 for someone to not display their blue badge seems to be a lot of money.
A spokesperson for Parking Control Management said our aim is to ensure those who need accessible bays are able to park. Displaying a valid blue badge at the time of parking is an important part of allowing us to protect those bays against misuse. Sadly, accepting retrospective evidence of blue badges is difficult owing to widespread fraudulent use. It is important that those with accessibility issues help protect parking bays they need by displaying a valid blue badge at the time of parking. Now, a very controversial Spanish-style plaza blocking off a stretch of Kent seafront to traffic is set to be axed just months after being brought in. The pedestrianised square in Central Parade in Herne Bay has drawn a lot of criticism since being installed earlier this year. And now its days are numbered as a working group set up amid the backlash says it will recommend to Kent's transport chief the scheme should be scrapped. While no decision has yet been made, the man who will decide the plaza's fate, Kent County Council Cabinet Member for Transport Neil Baker, says it's as good as a done deal. It comes just over a month after the council chief said the scheme, which was unveiled in January, was still bedding in and had not yet realised its full potential. Supporters had said it could unlock the town's potential, but support has been in short supply, with many critics speaking out against the plans. Hundreds of people flocked to the public meetings in January to offer opinions on the plaza, with one such discussion having to be suspended after too many people turned up. Work on a £9 million supermarket on Sheppey is nearing completion, but its opening date has been delayed. Plans for an Aldi in Queenborough were given the green light in December 2022, and it was meant to open this month. The firm hasn't given a reason for the delays, but says a new opening date will be revealed soon. The visitor centre in Rochester will close for the final time today. Council bosses have made the decision in a bid to balance their budget for the next year. Shane Waterman's from Rochester City Centre Forum and runs walking tours in the town.
I can understand it in one way, because Medway Council, like an awful lot of local authorities, is strapped for cash. You know, they admit that they're 17 million in debt this year. That's going to probably be 30 to 35 million next year. So they've got to cut where they can and not affect essential services. And they do have a quite expensive lease on that building, which you can understand them wanting to get out of. And understand actually they can't get out of that until sometime next year. So it's basically the staff are going now, in fact on Friday, and then the lease, they've got to carry on paying that so they don't incur a penalty until next year. But it's the fact that actually they've completely shut down the tourism function. Now, bear in mind that only just over a year ago, they came out with a new tourism strategy, which they pumped loads and loads of money into. And it was, you know, all to develop and get more people coming to Medway, not just Rochester. And that is now, as far as we can see, all going to come to a stop. And in, you know, any borough in the country, to a lesser or greater extent, depends on tourism. It brings in extra spending, you know, because, you know, you survive on locals, but you make a profit on visitors to an area, and that's true anywhere. So in a place which is so tourism orientated, particularly Rochester, you know, we've got Castle, Cathedral, the Dickens Links, the Christmas thing, you know, this is basically where Dickens fell in love with Christmas, right on this high street when he was a boy. All of that, if you don't promote it, people are going to go somewhere else. It's as simple as that. And that will have a direct effect on footfall, and that affects businesses. And businesses pay business rates. So what are you then going to do when you've then cut out businesses that were one of your sources of income? It to not replace it with something, to me, just doesn't make sense.
Patrick Fish runs a shop on the high street.
It's disappointing for sure. I think the key of a good tourist town is that it has a visitor information centre. We are heavily reliant on tourists, so it is disappointing for sure, but completely understandable given the situation with the council. I think it would be really good if they could find somewhere perhaps that they would own themselves to create a visitor hub. I think there's a justification that tourists now use a different way of accessing local information that doesn't rely on a physical building, but I think something to kind of cement the town together and like a focal point would be really helpful. There's been some really good initiatives in other towns, things like a map of local businesses by maybe a local artist is really nice, I've seen a few times, or a kind of periodical magazine that can be picked up just for kind of the high street would be really good. I'm always up for kind of initiatives that help or support local businesses.
The Huguenot Museum, which is in the same building on the high street, will stay open, but the summer Dickens Festival in the town has also been axed.
Kent Online News.
Hundreds of people from Kent will be heading to the capital this weekend to take part in one of the world's most famous road races, the London Marathon. We've been hearing from two of those people taking part to find out what inspired them to take on the 26-mile challenge. 20-year-old Jack Brown from Maidstone was diagnosed with testicular cancer when he was only 16. He wanted to run not just to raise money, but also awareness of the Teenage Cancer Trust.
I think that's one of the massive goals of this. It's not just about the money. It's also about raising the profile of Teenage Cancer Trust and the work they do. And hopefully as well, it's if any young people are going through treatment now, if they're able to see this and see that there is that light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, you can still go on to achieve incredible things. Just because you've had a cancer diagnosis, you shouldn't let it affect your ambitions.
We've also been speaking to Wayne Smith from Maidstone, who's taking part in a slightly different way. Although he's able-bodied, he wants to do the marathon in a wheelchair. It's to raise money for Demelza's children's charity after his daughter Esme was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy, meaning she's unable to walk without assistance throughout her life. But Wayne says the challenge of doing a marathon in a wheelchair has been harder than he anticipated.
Thinking about doing the challenge and everything like that is a lot easier. Like saying, yeah, I'll do that, like what I said, I'll go for it. And I remember the first training session going along the towpath thinking, what on earth have you let yourself in for here? Like, but now we're here and we're close, so we're very close now. So it's, yes, been very difficult, but it's been good. Like, I've now got the knack of it.
He also told us why Demelza is so close to his heart.
Esme was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy at 18 months, which is SMA type 2. And ever since, like, day one, Demelza have been absolutely incredible. They provide, like, before you use their service, you don't know too much about what they do. You just think it's a Demelza Children's Hospice, but there's so much more. And, like, they've done so much for us. Like, they provide so many events, Easter, Christmas, and everything for all the families. They have so much support for families with children with disabilities, with that are very sick as well, obviously. But they do their events. We've had use of like their hydro pool. They've got their physio that they've given to Esme as well, and they do respite as well, where we have someone come round once a month and gives Emma a little break, but it also allows more time to do some one-to-one stuff with our son Archie, because, as you can imagine, living with a child with disability is 24/7. So it's very challenging. But they're what they do for us is absolutely brilliant. So this is my way of saying thank you and giving back and trying to raise as much money as possible.
Kent Online News.
The search is on for four bronze statues that were stolen from a pub landlord's garden in Selidge. The sculptures of a stag, deer, baby and a solid bronze wishing well, which weigh several tonnes, are worth £12,000. The owner of Braybourne's Blue Anchor Pub say they were taken on the morning of April 4th. We've shared pictures at Kent Online. Residents who go above and beyond in Medway will be recognised tonight. The 22nd annual Pride in Medway event is taking place in the Glasshouse Theatre at Mid-Kent College in Gillingham. Awards will be handed out in categories including Young Hero, Courage and Community Service.
Kent Online News.
And now, with a look at what's on across the county this weekend, it's Sam Laurie.
When you've got a house full of restless little ones, moody teenagers and exhausted parents, it can be hard to find something that will keep everyone happy. If you want some ideas on where to take the whole family, from toddlers to grandparents this weekend, then you're in luck. It doesn't matter how old you are, who can really resist having a cuddle with adorable newborn lambs? The annual Lambing Weekend at Hadlow College near Tunbridge returns on Saturday and Sunday with cute baby animals, as well as tractor trailer rides, a fairground, food and drink stalls and a birds of prey display. For something that the older members of the family might enjoy, the Detling Antiques and Vintage Fair is at the Kent Showground near Maidstone this weekend. The fair boasts hundreds of indoor and outdoor stalls, selling retro fashion, vintage gems and second-hand treasures, so you never know what you'll find. There will also be music and food vendors for the little ones, and they can enjoy a slice of cake and ice cream as you browse the stalls. Now for some fresh air this weekend, the plant fair at Goddington House and Gardens near Ashford takes place on Sunday. There will be local nurseries specialising in a range of topics, from succulents to bee-friendly flowers, and of course plenty of plants for sale. You can also explore Goddington's beautiful gardens and visit the tea room while you're there. Now, when it comes to great shows this weekend, you just can't beat Grease. The musical is still showing at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley until Saturday, so you've got one last chance to throw on your Pink Lady's jacket and hand drive the night away. There are also some fantastic shows coming to Kent next week that you might want to book tickets for. First up is an award-winning musical, The Drifter's Girl, which opens at the Churchill Theatre from Tuesday. The show is all about the American vocal group The Drifters and how they shot to fame in the 1950s, 60s and 70s. There's also an interactive, family-friendly show worth watching next week. There's a Monster in Your Show based on the best-selling picture book by McFly singer Tom Fletcher is perfect for preschoolers, and it will be at the Trinity Theatre in Tunbridge Wells on Tuesday and Wednesday. And finally, it wouldn't be a What's On Roundup without mentioning some top tribute nights. This weekend you can catch the last days of disco, celebrating 70s dance floor anthems at the Central Theatre in Chatham, and the retro rock show, blasting classic rock hits at the Sinden Theatre in Tenterden, both on Saturday night. And on Monday and Tuesday, you can catch the Bootleg Beatles, generally acknowledged to be one of the world's best tributes to the Fab Four, at the Marlow Theatre in Canterbury, but you'll have to be quick as there are only a handful of tickets left. So, lots of choices there for all ages, and I hope you and your family have a fantastic weekend, whatever you get up to.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a trip to promoted Mansfield Town for Gillingham this weekend. The Gills need to win their final two games of the season and hope other results go their way if they're to reach the playoffs. Tomorrow's opposition secured promotion from League Two on Tuesday night. Here's Gillingham defender Romeo Hutton.
I just focus on football, really. That's what I'm here to do. So, and that's what I've brought in to do. That's what we get paid for. So I just want to play football.
And the manager said he's been ribbing you about your assists as well. So how good was it to get the first?
Yeah, good. It was a bit of a relief. But all I can do is create the chances, and obviously if I don't do it, people scream at me. If they don't put it in the net, I scream at them. So, but yeah, hopefully there's many more to come.
Do you have to work on it with your teammates quite a bit to know what sort of crosses you're doing?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's just getting used to... They get used to how I deliver the balls or when I'm going to deliver the ball. And I have to get used to what runs they're kind of making. So it's just about getting to know each other. And it takes a while to settle in. And obviously me coming in, then like Josh Andrews coming in. And my assist wasn't even a cross either.
No, exactly.
So, but yeah, no, we've had a few that hit the post or the bar and stuff. But last season, they all went in. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of evens out over the, I guess, your career, I imagine. So.
So less crossing and more sort of balls through the middle of the defence.
Yeah, just a little mix up, but yeah, hopefully I can get some more.
Mm-hmm. Your crossing abilities and stuff like that, is that a natural thing or did you work on the training ground sort of thing?
No, I had to work on it. So when I was at Stevenage, I was in and out of the team for other reasons, but I was just outside practicing, doing my extras, and like a thing is, I like to kind of make a point when I'm not in the team, and where the pitch was, the manager had to drive past. So I used to stay outside until he went home, and then I used to go inside. So he would see me every day watching. So
who's the manager?
Alex Ravel at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but there's no hard feelings there. Like I spoke to him before I came here, and last season if I see him, I say hello and so. So
you've not had many opportunities of being out of the team this season, have you? I think you've apart from that one game with the crew.
Yeah. Obviously, I knew I was coming here, so I didn't want to risk anything. It just wasn't done yet. So, but yeah, I don't think I missed a minute this season, which is a good achievement. But you got to stay fit at the same time. So I feel like I've done that very well.
Kickoff tomorrow is at 3. And briefly in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu says her best tennis is yet to come as she continued her excellent form by making it through to the quarterfinals of the Stuttgart Open. The former US Open champion will take on world number one Iga Swiatek this afternoon. She says she's looking forward to another meeting with an opponent she's yet to win against.
I must say I'm not too surprised because I've been working really hard on the training court and I knew it was just a matter of time. And honestly, I don't think this is my best. I think I still have a long way to go. But I'm just really happy that the rewards are starting to come on the match court because you know how it is when you're training day in, day out and you feel like the results aren't exactly going your way. But yeah, it's never that far away, I guess. And that's something that I've been learning, just doing the right things every single day. And then, yeah, things happen and you don't even know how or why. I think going through everything I've gone through after the US Open and then even last year having 8 months out of surgery, it gives you a different appreciation and there's nothing quite like playing in front of fans, playing in front of everyone out here and good tennis and building on match by match.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're there on the website, why not check out the latest review from The Secret Drinker?
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.